wait.
That'd be a good one.
They hired a guy on the last job you did that time.
There's prices.
Now they want me back. Okay, it cost now.
Cool.
That was on that.
I noticed there's no gum on it.
What was that? Goofy little gum? I just big wave, big wave.
Surplus or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, there's a number.
Yeah, I saw the back.
That's where they always are.
Huh?
That's where they always are.
As a kid, I go to church and I say, I go like this. It was gum all my knees. And then take the gum out and take it over.
What's that, Tim?
Yeah.
$700 a day per technician for over. Explosion and similar.
And they have a price for $85.
Not quite, Tim. I think I'm about maxed out. I got a good job today. Yesterday, Commissioner, go down and do all those tanks in that quarry in Crescent City. They finally signed contract. Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
So how good is 40?
Went down today to get all the signatures and all the materials list.
75 is 364.
I mean, they're planning to give us $30,000 for the other plan.
It looks like that.
Okay, we're going to bring this meeting to order and welcome everybody, and I ask everybody if they would please turn off their cell phones to either off mode, no sounds mode.
Dang.
Yeah. Okay, can we get a roll call? Ted.
Roger Thompson.
Here.
Sue Gold.
Here.
Roy Davis.
Here.
Mike Manning.
Here.
Tim Petty.
Here.
We're going to make one amendment to the agenda. We're not going to add or subtract anything. We're just going to move the resolution 447 to discussion only tonight. And I know possibly there are people here tonight that wanted some things on the agenda. Please try and make a note to get to the office within 7 days after the prior meeting to get on the agenda. Get with myself or Ted, either or, and we will try and get you on the agenda. Okay, can we get an approval of the agenda as amended?
I so move.
Second.
Ted, roll call.
Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Sue Gold.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Mike Manning.
Yes.
Tim Patterson.
Yes.
Can we get an approval of the minutes as written? The regular meeting.
I'll second that.
Ted.
Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Sue Gold.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Mike Manning.
Yes.
Tim Patterson.
I'm going to abstain because I just got them.
Okay, operational and financial review, Ted.
August 2015, revenue from operations were $283,792. Normal expenses were $260,666. The two categories together, after property tax revenue, grant expense, and debt service, resulted in a net operating profit of $10,376. Land mortgage revenues came in at $29,224. RV park revenue was $96,654. Fuel sales were $99,940. Cold storage revenues were $1,679. Yard activity revenue was $4,465. Rental revenue was $20,180. The ice plant generated $29,351. Repair and maintenance expenses were $35,889. Fuel purchase for resale was $77,821. Utility expenses were $38,774. Office expense was $17,780. August saw a successful pirate festival and steady sport fishing, although salmon remained elusive. Preparations were made for the Slam and Salmon Derby and better hours of operation for the new market at the RV park were arranged. Fencing construction portion of the RV park rehabilitation was completed, and the park enjoyed substantially improved numbers over previous years. You may note that a concrete apron was poured near Kathy's Corner Market to address a potential tripping issue. Substantial dock work was completed in the sport basin, and initial repairs on the commercial side were begun. Ice sales continued strong thanks to term season, and fuel sales remained steady. Falling fuel prices have contributed to increased activity and some port-related activities. Our accountants have reconciled all of the current books and are preparing last year's numbers for the auditor. We've been experiencing substantial theft and vandalism in our public restrooms and are being forced to consider nighttime closures to address these issues. Additional security cameras have been installed around the port. I recently attended a meeting of regulators in coastal ports convened by U.S. Senator Merkley to look at streamlining the permitting process for in-water and related activities carried out by all the ports. The goal is to take some or all of these activities and combine their authorization into one regional general permit, which could substantially reduce cost and time constraints for these small ports with limited resources. Due to this previous conflict, the work discussed in the last meeting was canceled. The workshop discussed in the last meeting was canceled. I spoke to Sue Gold about her research into the local hospital issue and request that she discuss it as part of her commission's report. As of today's date, the appraiser should have all the information needed to complete the appraisal, so we may go forward with exploring refinancing as a partial solution to the port's long-term financial situation. Quarterly forecast and plan. For the second fiscal year, or fiscal quarter beginning in October, we have prioritized our previously circulated project list for your review. Our prioritization is influenced by A, our present financial condition, combined with our own economic forecast, B, weather constraints and other limiting factors such as emergencies and emerging repair issues, C, staffing limitations, and D, relevance of each project to the port's continued productivity and progress in relation to the adopted strategic plan. And you'll see that attachment behind the report.
Okay, any questions? Any comments?
If anybody wants to comment on the attachment.
Any comments, Mike?
No, I think accurately reflects what's going on. I think he's I believe that Ted's working with operations manager Gary to come up with the list of what's needed done and present us an idea of what's happening and anticipated for modes.
So. Tim, any questions?
Yeah.
Rob?
My only comment, Ted, it would be nice to see some estimated costs on some of these things. I'm not going to hold it any cost, but just, you know.
Okay.
When you do it again, just say, you know, roof is going to cost $30,000, it costs $35,000, that happens.
Yeah, and it's a little bit difficult, too, because of our financial condition, since we're not able to borrow. I hate to get held to those numbers because...
I understand. I understand you only do what financially you have to do.
There's one thing. One thing I wanted to say is that actually Roger and I talked about this yesterday. I forgot to put on here the dock repair in front of the Eureka Fisheries spot, the DC Fisheries build up. That's where we got the appropriation. That's kind of a separately progressing project. These are just basics. These are the things that have been part of our plan and have been ongoing, and that we hope to address this quarter.
Can we make a motion to approve the financial review?
I move that we approve the financial review.
Do a second?
I'll second it.
Ted?
Roger Thompson?
Yes.
Sue Gold?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Mike Manning?
Yes.
Tim Patterson?
Yes.
We have plenty of chairs. We have 5 chairs up front for anybody who in the back row would like to...
One here, 2 here. Stop
close to you, though.
Come on up, babe. Come on up.
Promise we won't spit.
You can hear clearly. Come on up, Joe.
I understand. Nobody likes to sit up front.
Okay, we're going to go to public comments now. Mike Frederick?
Yep. Hi, I wanted to comment to the board and ask that maybe you consider kind of establishing policies regarding events and vendors so that it was known ahead of time. I've talked a lot of the vendors, they feel the same way. If they can plan in March for their businesses, what events they're going to be able to participate in, not participate in, what the rules would be, what the fees would be, and so on. They could plan better for their year. We could certainly, the last couple of years we were in events, but this year we were not allowed to be in. So is that a possibility, or?
I think that's a good possibility, Mike.
I was just trying to see his business. Now I see.
Yeah.
The brewery company.
Yeah. I think that's all we had, right? So is there a time that I could talk to you guys? Did you all get the letters that we sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a time that I could talk to you, or should we talk to you at the next meeting?
Maybe get an agenda item. Maybe get some, if you want to talk about policies.
Okay.
I don't have a problem putting that on as a discussion item.
So that's something I have to do like the next week now after this meeting to get on the next
right.
week?
Right. I would suggest within the next 7 days.
Okay.
Because once the agenda's made, it's really quite a staff chore to go back and change that and get that back out to
okay.
everybody.
All right. We'll do that.
Okay, Mike?
Okay. Thank you.
You bet, Mike. Thanks. Okay. Lois Graves?
Yes. I don't see it on the list of things to be talked about, but when I was shopping in the little stores by the boardwalk, I was informed that the leases had been canceled, and or they had received an eviction notice, and I was kind of concerned because. In my opinion, if you're going to make the port a destination point for persons other than fishermen, I would think you would want to keep the area as unique and interesting as possible so that, there's malls all over the United States failing because they're just big concrete slabs and nobody wants to go there. Because there's no independence, there's no uniqueness, there's no specialties, they're just all big box stores, and so the malls are stopping, you know, they're going down, they're not getting the business. And I was wondering if there would be a possibility of being able to explore as a citizen the options of expanding the uniqueness as to making it a destination point instead of just people driving by.
That's a good point, Lois. And there are ongoing operations and negotiations to do exactly what you're asking.
Cool.
Thank you. Okay, Connie Hunter, 5 minutes, please. We went through this last little.
Okay.
Please make it 5 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, for tonight's meeting.
If you do this at 30 seconds before, no.
Okay.
Not much to say because I didn't get the report that I needed from the port until September 11th. So those delays are our delays too. So we finally got it. My contractor finally has that information. So I have to get to that place where I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard place.
have to know whether there's a political will to do what we want to do with that building. I know that we are putting together a Curry Solutions team to address those missing layers of planning, and I talked to you about the Oregon Solutions. That's the best piece of the puzzle that the state provides to address that missing layer of planning. But beyond that, there's going to be a regional solutions team, and that's the solutions team that's dealing with things like the National Disaster Resilience Competition. And that solutions team is going to be looking at ways to support us at the local level. And you know what's going on with the National Disaster Resilience Competition, addressing things like having the two different water supplies and dealing with the salty water issues. And that is that level of planning that doesn't exist right now. So I've met with the county. They're interested in helping grow that too. And I'd like to invite anybody that's interested in participating in that solutions teams to participate. In addition, one of the things that we're trying to immediately get set up to visit as soon as January rolls around is the Office of the Governor will have a new staff position, which is a resilience officer. So we want to spend some time with him to see the other resources that we can get here. I have spoken to the county about going after a community block grant, and that would be a big chunk of the money that we might need. So we're working on that. We need a solutions team to deal with that level of planning, and the county's very interested in participating in that. And I want to know if we have the political will in this local government to address this. Because once we learn those skills, we'll always have those skills and we'll be able to do bigger projects that include a nonprofit. And one of the things that came specifically from Julie Schmelzer at the county was that there's a way to get that lien removed. And that's, I'd like to talk, you know, in private or in a meeting with the commissioners and with Ted to go over what that looks like. But there's a solution there that might take care of that problem.
Speaking about the county, they have a new planner, Carolyn Johnson. Have you met with her?
I've set up a meeting with Julie, and Julie's going to facilitate.
Okay, because I met with her today, and we discussed the green building. Okay. And she had some really interesting ideas, so I think it'd be a really good connection. A little different mindset.
And what my conversation with Julie, who's, as you know, is the head of economic development, she said, let her get settled in a week or so and let's have that meeting. So I'm glad you got to talk with her soon, and I'd love to know what you guys talked about. I'm sure there.
She thinks that there's some opportunities there. And I think that, you know, one of the stumbling blocks has been at the planning level and at the, you know, inspection level of the county. She was dumbfounded to find out how the building got to the condition that it's in. You know, got to the place it's in with never having had any inspections and so forth. So she's looking into all that. But she's got some, you know, she's kind of thinking outside the box, so I think that's good.
And I was grateful to know when she was hired that she did think outside of the box, and that made me hopeful. And those were things that Julie said as well. So I expect to have that meeting in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah. Good. Make an appointment.
I will. I was actually in the office the day after the court meeting last time, and I went in to ask for the report. And I don't know, I guess I thought I put it out there, but if there's paperwork that I have to fill out, Jeremy will direct me.
Yeah.
I'm the one that walked out with all the dum-dums. So.
Because we'll make time for you, Connie, on a meeting for sure. We got a couple of commissioners and Ted or whatever it takes to.
Okay,
to chat with
if
you.
We have the political will, we can get this done. And I believe that, number one, that the funding will be available under the right circumstances. And political will is the first step with that.
Okay.
Good job. Right on.
Expecting to hear from you for a meeting.
Yay. Was I under 5?
No, you were right on 5.
Okay.
Actually, 3 seconds over, but it's like sucked up sometimes.
Okay. Alyssa Babin.
I've never done this before, so should I come up there?
You can just introduce yourself and speak loudly if you like.
Okay. Well,
clearly.
My name is Alyssa Babin. I'm a lifelong Brookings resident, and I'm here tonight because I read an article in the Pilot about how the jam sessions at the court were being shut off at 6. And as a young person, that was frustrating to me. There aren't many opportunities to listen to live music in the community. And I was like, okay, well, what was the process? How did the court come to this decision? So I just got here tonight and I was looking over these notes, and Executive Director Fitzgerald said in here that there isn't any sound ordinance per se in the court. And I know from living here for a long time that often it doesn't necessarily mean the most popular voice is the loudest voice. Sometimes people have loud voices that aren't necessarily the best or that represent the most of public opinion. And I would just caution the board to make decisions using the public comment process. And I was curious what sort of public input you got when you made this decision, because I certainly enjoy going down there and listening to the music on Sundays, as does the rest of my family. I bring my nieces, and we watch the sunset and we listen to the music. It's never been inappropriate. I've always enjoyed it. I live just right on the Checo River, less than a quarter mile away. I've never heard the music from my house. So I was just curious as to what, if you had a public process for this sort of thing, if there was a way, because I didn't find out about this until I read that article. And if I would have known that this was being discussed, I would have been here and I would have had my friends and family down supporting the music. I think it's important that we all listen to music. I don't think music should be banned. I feel like this is sort of a ban on music and freedom of expression, and I'm disappointed with what the board has done.
They're still playing, dear, in case you hadn't checked it out.
I know they're still playing. I just feel like there's no ordinance. Why does it have to stop at 6? I don't go to bed at 8.
Right. We are.
I think it's unreasonable that they go to bed at 8 and want it to shut off at 8.
Right.
That's from my perspective, you know.
Right. And please remember, we are a community entity. We have lots of people to make happy. Lots and lots and lots of people.
Can we have a process?
This is all new to the board. We've never asked to bend quiet things down before. We do not have a public process.
That's what I would appreciate.
That's what these meetings are for. So next meeting, honey, bring your friends. That's really what they're for.
I just was curious as to what it was, because if you don't have a sound ordinance, so I feel like
in the county as well either.
So then why are we making one up just based on a couple of people's complaints? And I feel like we should really gauge what public opinion is. Part of what we're doing here in Curry County is trying to create tourism opportunities. Tourists like to listen to music.
Right. And do you have any idea what the five of us on this board are? Do you know what we're called?
I don't understand your question.
Do you have any idea what the five of us on this board are called? We are public servants. And we have a lot of public to please, believe me. We hear you loud and clear. And number one, I'm the first one to get there and the last one to leave. I'm with you. But I'm only one. It takes five on this board. It takes a staff. It takes a community. We don't want to upset anybody. We want to please everybody, believe it or not.
I'm just here saying that I'm disappointed with the decision and I wish there was a better public process.
Right. But have you not noticed that the music has kept going? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's been turned down much. Matter of fact, Saturday I was listening to it at my house at 924 Easy Street.
Okay, but my comment is that I don't think the public process was sufficient.
Okay, I'd just like to say that in response to that, if we recall, we responded to a barrage of complaints that came in. The way we responded to it was, I went out, interviewed the complainants to the extent that I could find them. I went over and I talked to Zolas, and we reached an accommodation that was acceptable to Zolas. They turned it down on Sunday night. And it seems like it's a community that we live in. So we actually did reach an accommodation with the party. And so I don't think that pure democracy rule in a situation like this would be appropriate, because we actually do have you have a variety of people. Like you say the complainers get the most. Trust me, I know. I totally agree with you. But at the same time, so I went out and I interviewed them, and then I went and I interviewed everybody who was at the music that I could find. And the two, some pretty big conflicts there as to how long the music went and how, so basically, I really didn't want to, I mean, I'm trying to find a middle ground with everybody, and if we can move forward, and it seemed that we kind of found a pretty good place right there, but there were some big conflicts as far as, that, you know, I couldn't line up, or the complaints were made that didn't match when the music was played, and in fact, there was a video of the music that stopped at a certain time, and they showed it to me, and so, I, you know, that is my job, is to get out there and try to reach that middle ground. And I understand that I understand your concerns, but at the same time, if we can reach a place where you know there are going to be people that want one night quiet. And I think Sunday is probably not a bad night to stop it at 6. But that's actually the only restriction that we put on it. It's temporary. We're seeing how it works.
Right. Well, that's just my comment. I just feel like,
I think it's a valid point, and I'm glad that you came, and that I'm glad that you told everybody, because really, the only person, my ears have been stopped up for 2 months anyway, I can't hear anything, but you know, Roy was advocating, because he loves the music, and he likes to go down there, it's a good time, everybody has a great time. Yeah. And we want, and as I say, I find myself saying it a lot, we live in a community here. There are a lot of people, and we're all, you know, you guys need to be able to get what you want at the same time. You know, we're all, that's why there's just a middle ground that we've got to find in each one of these things. But it is true that we need to bring your friends. Please do. You know, the Zola's people didn't know that they were going to get bushwhacked at the meeting with a bunch of complaints that were lined up. They didn't know it, and they didn't like it. And I'll tell you that they are good tenants, and they're valued. And so I did what I could to protect them as well, because I, you know, they would have been able to bring. There are a lot of people that like Zola's, and if we bring them, then we're gonna have to get a bigger room.
No, I'm, you know, I'm a huge advocate of the public process, and you know, deciding things like this as a community. And I feel that's one of my core principles, so I totally get that. I'm just saying I don't feel that happened here.
Yeah.
In this decision, and I'd like to see it happen. That we make a community decision, because this has happened before in Brookings Harbor. You know, people fear monger. They start rumor mills. And then it's like one or two people, and it's been out of control. You guys all know what happens.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that voice, we hear you. I want to tell that person, I hear you, but let's make this about the community and have more of a community decision. You know, I live here. I'm 32. I want to have fun. I don't want to move away. I'm a valuable member of the community. Don't push me away. You know? So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Alyssa, thank you. Dave Ferrier?
Ferris.
Okay. You got the floor, Dave.
I'm at Tide Lights Brewery, and I think I kind of dovetailed with what Mike said. We enjoyed coming to the public events here at the harbor in 2013 and 14. And after preparing the permits and getting the time and expenses prepared, we found out at the last minute we weren't going to be participating in the events this year. And I would just like to say we'd like to participate in the events, the public events. We've had enjoyed it in the past, and I think there's been some conflicts, and I'd like to see that we clear that. I'm willing to work with individuals to figure out a way to do it, and I'd like to see what we can do to fix it and get everybody involved.
Absolutely. Is that it, Dave?
I'm sorry?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Understood, Dave. Heard you. Anything from the board on any of the comments? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for their public comments tonight. We will move now to discussion item A, which will be the travel lift lease, and then we will have a discussion item B on resolution 447. So travel lift A, the lease, Ted?
Yes,
Okay, I've submitted packets to you. We have been talking about this problem for some time. We got prices, then we got kind of sidetracked on a few other things, but our current lift is a 60-ton lift. It's been authorized over the years as it gets older and in worse repair, even though, if you recall, I think 2 years ago we put $35,000 in it. It's pretty steady. We were putting large amounts of money into the travel lift just to keep it going. It's now down to 34 tons. It's severely limiting the amount of boats that we can haul. And the travel lift presence here in the port for actually all sides, for commercial and sport, the travel lift is really integral to the operation of this place. If we don't have it, and if we aren't serious about it, we will be essentially out of business. If you look back over our previous financials, you'll see that yard activities account for a sizable amount of our revenue every month. Now, not all of that is directly related to the travel lift, but all of it can be tied to it in one way or another. If we don't have a travel lift, a lot of boats relocate where they do have one, so that they need to be able to get pulled out when they have an issue. We have to, and in our case, when we have an emergency in our basin, our choices are limited, and more than once, I've directed that a boat that's way over our limit be hauled because of the potential risk to the basin, what's going on with the boat. So we've had to take some chances that I don't like to take. I mean, I felt good enough about them. I'm familiar with the machine and I know what it can do, but because I have actually tested the limits to failure before. But it's time that we take that machine and we move up and we get serious about being in the boat business, which is what we do here. So we started looking at replacement machines. We looked at travel lifts like the travel lift is a make. That's an American-made machine. And we did some pretty extensive research. We went around the West Coast and saw what's getting put in and what people are adopting. And the one that we like the most seems to be the most flexible for us is the Ascom. It's out of Italy. It's actually powered by a John Deere motor, and parts are all easily accessible. But if you read the specs and so forth, right, as I said, we had a 60-ton machine. With the way that the larger commercial boats are going, if we want to stay in the market, we need to move up from that substantially. I've gotten prices for a 75, 85, and 100-ton machine. Problem with the 100-ton is a 100-ton boat is going to be bigger than our current ways. They're not wide enough. So the Ascom is actually adjustable. You can widen the wheelbase when you get it to our down the road. Hopefully, fairly shortly, we're gonna launch into a project to look for grant money to put in new ways, wider ways, and update our boat basin and our haul out facilities substantially. But in the meantime, we need a flexible travel lift that can stay on our existing ways, service the vessels that we have, and maintain the market share that we have. And that's why the 100-ton lift can still work for the smaller boats on our ways. And that's what I would recommend. You can see the prices are not cheap, though. So if we go back to the, let's see. I think it's page 9 of 12. Yeah. So if you look at the 75-ton delivered, $364,000. 85 tons, $421,000. And for the 100-ton, $488,000. There's, as you know, we can't borrow money. The way that I would propose that we proceed with this is we discuss what size of lift we want to go after, and then I'll look into leasing, and we can lease that until such time that we proceed with the the refinance, which should be done this next week, and we can convert that into a purchased item down the road.
Can you lease to own?
Yeah, essentially.
Those payments will go towards the... Will they allow 100% of the lease payments to go towards the principal?
I'm not sure. In most lease companies, they got to have some cost, you know. So,
okay.
I've been talking to various banks about that, and you know, since we are a U.S. government entity, we get a break in the leasing, but it's, you know, it's a little bit better deal than you'd get as a normal individual.
And if we lease it, would we be able to take the depreciation, or would they take the depreciation?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Some lease deals I've done, they take the depreciation. That keeps it.
That's a good question. Stop.
What's the time of delivery, Ted?
15 weeks from order. So, you know, roughly 4 months, something like that. So if we can, if I can get some direction, I can go out and get some prices, and then we can reconvene and pull the trigger, and that would bring it in some of February. You know, we're going into our slower time for lifting, but of course, as soon as I say that, somebody's going to sink or something, and you know, or there will be a tsunami or something like that.
Then math can really, how many, 100-ton machine, which I'm sort of for, I would lift about 90-some% of the boats in the harbor we have today.
Yeah, 90, high 90s, yeah.
You had 4 or 5 that didn't even
right.
Sure of. Well, I'm going to go out on the line. I would go for the 100-ton one, because I think the long range would be a better investment, and it would expandable out to where you'd use it when we move over to the barge slip. It makes more sense to go 100 ton and be done with it. You know, I've watched that old crane, that old one lift a lot of things, and I've always wondered how it held together sometimes.
Me too.
What percent of the business do you think we're lifting business are we losing because of our out-of-date machine?
Right now, we're probably lifting about, we might lift, I don't know, 40% of the boats, something like that.
Lose?
We might lose
40. So we're losing 60?
No, we're losing 60. We're losing a lot of them. And we're losing some of our best customers that normally haul. But the boats are, you know, we've had to turn some down. They're really mad at us. They think, you know, as usual, they think it's, I got it in for them. I can't, you know, there's a point where you have to not do that because I don't want to drop your boat.
Right.
What are they saying the life expectancy of it is with proper maintenance, Ted?
You know, the life expectancy, they're talking, I think, 30 years, but that's where we are. I mean, ours is a 79, so 89, 99, yeah, so 35. I got to tell you, ours did not have proper maintenance.
I'm well aware of that.
When I got here in 2008, I found Zerks that never seen grease. And so, if you'll notice, this has a trunnion bearing up in the top, which allows the two frames to coordinate, and ours has that as well, and our trunnion bearing, as far as I can see, was never properly looped, even from the factory. And so that's the wear point that you can't fix. And in order to fix that, in order to address that, we would have to take our travel lift apart and to buy a new beam which has the trunnion in it. The only way you've got a travel lift will only sell you a new beam for that thing, and the beam is going to be somewhere in the order of $120,000.
Yeah.
So they kind of got us.
Money.
So the other thing we can do is we could do a logger fix. We could break it down, bore it out, build something back in there. But the problem with that is then when something gets dropped, then it all comes home to roost on us, probably us individually, specifically me, because it was my idea. So I would recommend against that.
So question, with proper maintenance, would this continue lifting the 100 tons, whereas ours used to be a 60 ton, now it's about half that?
As part of the build-out, well, you know, what you need to do with a machine like this, this is it's a terrible environment for any machine. We're in the worst place. It really does need to have a covered building that you can drive this thing into. And in the meantime, we can build, you know, we can put temporary covers. You need to keep the superstructure covered on this thing in the rain and in the, you know, when you get the rain, you get the wind blowing the salt and right off the ocean. And you know, it nothing. I've never been anywhere that you lose stuff quicker than our boatyard. So we need to have a covered building for it as quickly as possible, and that's going to be part of a project going forward. But in the meantime, it'd be great to have the cart house before the horse, but we can't. We sort of need the horse right now.
So Ted, they're going to give us $30,000 trade-in value on the old piece of junk. So that puts us down to $458 for the 100 tons.
Right, it'll come down some. And then, yeah, when we looked at lease rates several months ago, I want to say it was in about the $5,000 a month range to get that for the big one. And it's probably somewhere in that neighborhood, but I'll know for sure when we rerun the numbers.
And what the interest rate is and how fast you want to pay it off.
What was that?
How much the interest rate is and how fast you want to pay it off.
Yeah, exactly.
All matters.
So anyway, that's all I've got on that. If you would like me to proceed with getting a lease rates, we can do that and get a pathway to getting back in the lifting business in a big way.
Okay, Tim has a question.
A couple of reasons why you didn't do the travel lift. Travel lift makes 100 ton, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you chose not to use them because a couple of reasons?
More expensive and kind of really felt like I was being held hostage. Kind of felt like they felt they were entitled to the business and weren't willing to give us anything on their own trade-in, their machine. You know, when you get one of these old things, somebody will put a beam in there, somebody will take it out, and it'll be sitting in some smaller marina somewhere. It would be worth money. It'd be a great machine to have in a place where, you know, on a lake or something where you're hauling relatively manageable boats. But our problem is that we get these, you know, we get 55 and 60 foot boats that weigh a lot. And also the modern commercial fishing vessel is a lot wider. It may not be longer, but it's wider. And it's so we need a completely different configuration
I wasn't suggesting keeping the one. I was suggesting, I was just wondering whether why you had not chosen.
Yeah, that was
100 ton.
It just
and what is the ballpark revenue expected here in this?
Well, you know, normally when our yard is running at full tilt, we're making about $14,000 a month at an average
in lifting
yard activities. That's lifting and related activities, because when you get a lot of people coming into the yard, you're moving boats through there, and there are a lot of other people that can work in there. People bring their boats from all over. We'll guarantee we'll pick up a lot of Crescent City business. You can haul there, but it's extremely expensive, and people want to come here. We'll pick up business from down in Eureka and up north as well.
So how many months are you getting, say, 14,000?
Well, now not so many because we've slowed down. But that historically, that's for the last few years we've been coming in pretty steady with a good heavy revenue from yard activities in the $14,000 range.
So we're talking every month.
Most months.
Okay.
You'll have a couple of slow months when nobody's fishing and not much is going on, but mostly that yard stays pretty busy.
And if we're currently losing 60% of our business simply because
we can get more business, yeah.
Okay.
And that 14 or that yard money is net as opposed to gross?
No, that's gross. That's gross revenue from yard days, haul outs, you know, other crane work related to stuff going on in and around the yard, all that stuff.
So how close, based on net, are we going to be able to pay the 5,000? Because that's going to take net money.
Well, mostly net's pretty close to gross when it's just space rental.
That's right. Okay, so for the most part, so 10,000 a month might be a reasonable number.
That'd be a pretty reasonable number, yeah.
So what you're saying, you have every reason to believe that you can make the lease payments, whether it be on the 100 ton or the 80 ton, out of your yard.
Yeah, we can make the payments out of there. We can make the payments out of the yard, and I think we can probably make the payment out of the increase in business with a new lift.
Yes, we're going to, that 14,000 right now is going to other things.
Right.
So we don't have that a bit. That's going to go away from a budget point of view. That's going into, that's disappearing. So mm-hmm. we have to make 14 plus 5 really to break even.
Right.
And so you're assuring.
I'm not assuring that,
you. I'll use that word. You have every reason to expect that it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was the warranty period of this is 30 years it's going to last. And they're giving us 12-month warranty. That seems awfully short for this amount of money and this deal. So on month 13 and the breaks, we're going to have to bring them from Italy to fix this, or what happens at that point?
They actually have, they do have service people out here in the United States. They're putting in quite a few of these lifts. I think there are a total of six in the San Diego area alone right now. So they're getting, and there's, you know, I suppose that if there's a real special breakdown, you might need Guillermo to come from Venice. I'm not sure, but normally we haven't had, you know, most of the stuff is John Deere power. You're gonna, if it's things that break on a thing like this, or, you know, hydraulics are pretty universal. John Deere's, we're gonna, you know, you call Pape, they're gonna come fix it.
Could you double check on that warranty?
Okay.
So what was the warranty from travel?
I can't remember.
It's okay. Basically from day one to up to, from installation date till 15 months after installation.
Okay. It's pretty much standard throughout the industry.
Oh, is it?
It's okay. About all this big equipment has went to just 1 year because of the liabilities and they don't have no control over how you're going to
use it
and the environment we're in.
The varnishing warranty, if 3 years, is that the finish on the outside? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have 3 years in that.
What did you say, Roger?
Well, Ted, the way I look at reading the specs on here, you can probably specify certain kind of pumps. Parkers mm-hmm. are common pumps. You can buy them up any place. No. So if we ordered one, Siemens are expensive, let me clue you. But you could probably specify what pumps.
Right, we specify the power, for example. Power. You could get yourself an like a Italian engine, I thought.
Get a
probably
Dutch, and then you don't worry about what it costs for. Okay.
And lastly, about how many units do you think there are in the U.S. at this point?
Excuse me?
How many units in the U.S. at this point?
You know, I don't know about the East Coast right now. I just know on the West Coast, and if there's some up where we would be the farthest north. There are quite a few in California right now, but it's been several months. I know that they were talking to some people up north, so there may be an ASCOM up somewhere around Washington. I wouldn't be surprised by now. But, you know, there's quite a few on the East Coast, and then here we've got, I can't remember, 15 or 20 on the West Coast.
We're not the first.
No, we're not the first.
And is this the only one that was expandable later on?
Yeah.
It's the only one, travel lift, you can't expand.
You couldn't get the expanded with all the other stuff, with the self-steering wheels and all the other, there were a lot of, travel lift was very expensive, but it didn't come with the things that make this, you know, you really want to have each wheel independent, you want to have, this is common throughout the industry, there are a bunch of companies that make this, and I found that the travel lift model was just a lot of money for a really basic GM product, you know, when you could, you're paying for a lot more.
Oh, well, I do have one more. Thank you. Loan versus lease. What's it costing us? How much it's costing us to lease this as opposed to buy it?
Well, we can't buy it.
Well, you're saying that we are close to making a deal to refinance.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that's a true statement.
And that's not what you said a few minutes ago?
What you said.
No, we're close to having appraisal done to find out where we sit.
This would be a thing that we could buy our way out of, but I don't want to plan the port's future on our refinance, because that's a long and very complicated process. We might get lucky and finish it soon, but as I've said, I think you can expect a fight getting the kind of deal that we need to be able to make a refinance affordable, to be able to buy out the debt of the state. I think, as I've said in every meeting, that's a very severe problem that we're looking at. And so, in the meantime, we have to keep the port in business while we go forward.
So it's not weeks, it could be years.
What?
It's not weeks and it could be years.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, I'm still having trouble hearing.
Okay, so as a board, do we want to direct Ted to pursue lease options for the new travel lift?
I make a motion we proceed on that.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Discussion. Are we approving finding the lease, or are we approving signing the lease?
Finding a lease. Pursuing lease.
Researching rates. It.
Researching lease. For the 100-ton rig.
For the 100-ton rig.
Okay. It's not a done deal yet.
Okay, so
we've got to have the numbers first.
Okay, so we get a roll call on that, Ted?
Roger Thompson?
Yes.
Sue Bull?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Mike Manning?
Yes.
Tim Patterson?
Yes.
Okay. So that takes care of the action item on travel up as well. We want to now discuss item B, which is resolution 447, resolution adopting board duties and responsibilities, letter of support for the, there's another one here too, letter of support for the Indian Memorial, sorry about that. So resolution 447, resolution adopting board duties and responsibilities.
I move we table that.
Correct.
Because I just received the documents and I'm not prepared to talk about this.
Yeah, we all just received it.
Well, I can only talk to myself on this.
I do not have a problem tabling that.
Give me a second.
Can we get a second?
I'll second it.
Ted?
Roger Thompson?
Yes.
Sue Gold?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Mike Manning?
Yes.
Tim Patterson?
Yes.
Okay, action item C, letter of support for the Indian Memorial.
As you know, the Indian Memorial has been proceeding over the last few years, making some progress regarding the memorial to Lucy Dick. They've poured their base. They brought in some rocks. We've done some slab work with the redwood slabs so they can build a longhouse. They've provided you with their outline of how they want to proceed with that. But they've contacted the tribe has contacted me and said they could really use a letter of support because they're trying to get some grant money, and they'd like a letter of support from the commission saying that we support their memorial and the mutual goals, that the goals they have are we share those as well, in that we want to support and celebrate the life of Lucy Dick and the fact that the tribe essentially was located here on port property in that area. That would enhance the grant requests. Let's see. They also have a question. If we could get something, a letter like that from the commission, they'd also like a dollar donation. But I think we're very clear from the get-go that we're not participating as a funding vehicle for the Indian Memorial. But they also have a question. They'd like to use volunteer labor down there on some of their projects, and it is problematic for us. I can't recommend, they asked me to bring this up, but I can't really recommend that we are encouraging or allowing volunteer labor unless they can provide us with an insurance policy that would cover that. And then if they can, I think that'd be fine. We work with our insurance agent and so forth, but those are the three requests that they brought to us tonight.
Well, I would make a motion. We certainly support it with a letter.
Okay.
The land was donated. The port donated the land. So dollar-wise, I think we've put in our value. And I also agree with the volunteer labor force, as long as they can provide an insurance policy, which I've looked into for the port before. It's very inexpensive. I would have no problem with volunteer labor.
I agree with Roy.
All right.
If it's acceptable to our insurance, if our insurance company thinks it's okay, I would go for it. But I wouldn't want to make that judgment just based on our feeling good about the project. Right.
No, I think we had subject to our insurer.
Mm-hmm. So I'll second what you've done so far. Are you waiting for that, or are you going for the third?
No. Go ahead and go on third.
No, go ahead.
For the, I support the letter.
Yes.
I support the labor. I do not support a donation of dollars because we donated the property. And in the beginning, we did say that we were not an economic engine for that because we donated the property. So that was the third.
So we don't need a motion for this, right?
Yeah, it's an action item. I think we should make a motion.
Should make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we support the letter of support. I make a motion that we support the labor as long as the insureds are satisfied, and I would recommend that we have already donated the land and not dollars from here on out.
One second.
Got a second? Okay, Ted.
Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Sue Gold.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Mike Manning.
Yes.
Tim Patterson.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Commissioner's report, Roger.
Yes, I'd like to thank the port staff, even though I know they're paid during the Salmon Slam, but they lost their weekend. They've done a good job. Things went fairly smooth. And I'd like to thank them all for their effort and time on Salmon Slam Derby.
On that topic, I'd also like to thank Roger for stepping up and taking over as head chef. Turned out that I've had a lot of reports that the barbecue went smoother than it has in recorded memory. I know it was really well organized. I know the cooking went off without a hitch, and I heard a lot of great things. I'd also like to thank Mike Manning for being integral in getting a hold of that fish. So I really appreciate all the help we got.
That was a good picture in the paper, by the way.
Yeah. All right, Sue Gold, I think you might have something.
Yeah, I did quite a bit of research, and I've got a copy of everything for you, so you can kind of read along with me. This is on the Curry Health District, for those of you in the audience that don't know. And the reason I did this research is because the annexation that is going to be on the ballot basically involves all of the port district, whether or not we want to be annexed into the Curry Health District. So I kind of went through and did a lot of research. This is just facts that I found out by reading the audit, by reading various articles in the newspaper, especially by the current CEO, looking at the Curry Health District website, etc. So let me just go through the financial facts. One, a permanent property tax rate of 0.7425 cents per thousand assessed valuation would be imposed. This is stated in the ballot measure. Two, in late 2016, the projected indebtedness of CHD will be close to $47 million. The rate to cover the debt of the general obligation bond as well as other indebtedness is not stated in the ballot measure. It could vary because property values fluctuate. The projected rate of their most recent $10 million bond, which was passed in 2013, is approximately 0.25 cents per thousand. So the total property tax rate will probably be 0.9925 cents per thousand. Most of the bond debt will be paid over a period of 25 to 40 years. Three, if the annexation passes, CHD plans to get an additional loan or bond for $10 million to pay for the expansion of the Brookings Fifth Street facility. So basically, this cost is not included up here. Four, according to Virginia Razzo, CEO for CHD, annexation of Southern Curry County is not required for CHD to remain solvent, but is a requirement for CHD to have the ability to accommodate the volume of emergency department visits that are expected. Five, Razzo also stated that the Brookings emergency department could result in an annual operating loss of $500,000. And another projection that I read that was in information handed out to the commissioners stated that the loss would be $568,878. This was on April 12th. Both figures are based on an anticipated 6,000 visits per year to the emergency department as stated in CHD's proposal given to the Curry County Commissioners. A critical hospital feasibility study done by Asante in 2004 projected annual emergency department visits of 3,933 in 2017. This was with an assumption of a 3% population growth. In actuality, the population has actually decreased. So, in my opinion, the $6,000 or 6,000 emergency visits, I think, is exaggerated a bit. Okay, six. If annexation is passed, the South County, including Brookings and Harbor, will be paying approximately two-thirds of the property tax revenue to CHD. Seven, if the CHD audit for fiscal years 2013-14 district management admits that there are issues facing the district that could result in material changes in its financial position in the long run. Some of those issues are risks related to Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement, increasing employee salary and benefit costs. For your information, salaries and benefits increased by $1.8 million or 11.5% as indicated on page 7 in the audit. High liability, difficulty in recruiting and maintaining specialists, malpractice insurance premiums for the hospital and physician practices. It's also interesting to note that Oregon has no cap on awarded punitive damages for medical malpractice, with hospitals being liable. Competitive pressures from neighboring health systems and continued expenditures exceeding revenue. So those are concerning. Okay, eight, according to the 2013-14 audit on page 7, there was an increase in revenue as new programs were put in place, but expenditures outpaced revenues. Nine, the audit verifies that 53% of the CHD revenue for patient care comes from Brookings. 10, the CHD has investments in the local investment pool and Oregon short-term fund, which are not guaranteed or insured, and CHD does not have a formal policy limiting the amount that may be invested in any one bank or institution. This was on page 23 and 24 of the audit. 11, CHD took out a loan from the city of Brookings for $500,262 for system development charges in 2010. They owe $266,484 as of 6/30/14. 12, a loan for $41,795 was taken out by CHD in 2013 at a rate of 20.84% and was paid as of June 2015. This was on page 29 of the audit. I only mention this fact because, in my opinion, this indicates poor fiscal stability on the part of CHD if they have to borrow money at that rate of interest. 13, yeah, it stood out to me too. ORS 440.395 stipulates CHD's ability to levy taxes. This includes property taxes, as well as the authority to assess and levy special tax upon all such property, real and personal, in an amount sufficient to pay yearly interest on outstanding bonds and any portion of such bonds maturing in that year. 14, ORS 440.370, I'm getting hot too, stipulates that the CHD, as included in any Oregon Health District, can exercise eminent domain, purchase, sell, condemn, and appropriate real property as well as water, water rights, and riparian rights. Okay, next I wanted to talk about promises, past and future. One, Mr. McMillan, one of the many past CEOs of CHD, indicated that the Brookings facility would be a hospital. Then he indicated that it would be an emergency room. The facility ended up being a clinic. I actually was in a meeting when those promises were made, at least the first promise. Two, citizens were assured that annexation would not be required because increased patient revenue from the Brookings facility would be sufficient to cover costs. Three, Virginia Razzo, current CEO of CHD, states that to have the ability to expand Curry Medical Center to accommodate the volume of emergency department visits expected, annexation is required. The ballot measure states that the annexation will provide additional tax revenues to allow the expansion of the facilities in Brookings to provide emergency room facilities and other additional services and facilities. So there are a couple of key words there. Allow, to have the ability. Four, Razzo also states additional services could potentially be provided if feasible. And those services may include chemotherapy infusion and other complementary cancer services, dialysis, pain management programs, and expanded access to specialists via telemedicine on or on site clinics. It should be noted that an emergency room is not needed for these services. A clinic could also provide them, and the Brookings Clinic could have been providing them for the last 4 years. It is also interesting to note that Sutter Coast Hospital is currently advertising that they will be providing these services. Next, quality of health care. One, comparative demographic data from 2009 to 2015 provided by Oregon Rural Health, OHSU, documents that there was a decrease in population as well as an increase in poverty levels in Curry County. The data also documents increased morbidity and mortality rates, increased low birth rates, and the continuing lack of medical specialists. Clearly, the Brookings CHD clinic has increased revenue to CHD, but has not improved health and wellness standards. Two, we have other options to get good quality health care without paying extra property tax. Next, poor business practices. One, the Gold Beach Hospital is being built in a tsunami zone, so it is not eligible for grants. Jay Wilson, chairman of the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission, is responsible for statewide earthquake planning. He sees the siting process for the hospital at Gold Beach as a failure. He also says that critical facilities that provide life safety are being built without taking what scientists now know into account. Two, the Brookings Clinic was built on wetlands, and because of this, building costs were much greater than expected. Would this cause further problems if an expansion for an emergency room were being built? I don't know. Three, CHD expanded by buying Shore Pines Assisted Living in Gold Beach and the Rush Surgical Center, knowing that additional indebtedness would be required to build a new hospital. Four, a new hospital had to be built in Gold Beach by mid-2016 because the state fire marshal could no longer issue additional waivers for the old hospital. Five, Curry Medical Center in Brookings presently has 34,500 square feet. Does it make sense to add an additional 25,000 square feet for a total of 59,500 square feet for projected healthcare in Brookings? The Asante feasibility study done in 2004 stated that a 15-bed critical access hospital would need a total of 34,000 square feet. Six, would it have been better if the Curry Health District had annexed the Port District prior to building the new hospital, thus being able to present a larger tax base when applying for loans? Just a question. Other possibilities for health care. There are multiple alternatives for quality health care rather than becoming a part of the Curry Health Care District. If annexation occurs, there are no alternatives. Summary. By voting for the CHD annexation, residents of the Port District are essentially investing in a business. They will be paying 2/3 of all tax revenue given to CHD. As it stands right now, according to the ballot, the City of Brookings will be able to appoint two individuals to advise the board, but they will not be able to vote on any decisions made by the board. There is no representation from Harbor or other unincorporated areas. The port could potentially have a hospital within its district, according to ORS 440.505. This cannot happen if the Port District is annexed and becomes part of Curry Health District. There is no guarantees for new services like dialysis and chemotherapy infusion. There is even no guarantee for an emergency room in Brookings. According to the original ballot measure, November 5th, for the Curry Health District, this was a $10 million bond. This only covered replacements for the Gold Beach Hospital and Port Orford Clinic. What will the Port District get if annexation passes? The only thing that we are assured of is that our tax dollars will be paying CHD debt that has already been incurred. Does this sound like a good investment for the Port District residents? As commissioners, we have an obligation to inform the people of our district about the fiscal and other ramifications that will result if annexation is passed. After spending many hours looking at data related to this issue, I recommend that we vote on one of the following two options. One, recommend that we do not support the ballot measure, or two, recommend that we do not support the ballot measure at this time because there are no guarantees. So, I ran across some other figures in case some of you are interested. Comparisons of what are happening, and part of this was rather confusing because it talks about outpatient revenues that are going to be coming to Brookings, the ER place, and I don't know whether you're aware of outpatient, but that means beds that are actually sitting there, and an emergency room never has beds. So I'll just give you this to... What was that?
Inpatient visits.
Thank you. Outpatients are where they leave. Emergency room would have outpatient. Okay, I also have some extra copies here if anybody in the audience would like that. So I'll leave them here.
Okay, any comments from the board on Sue's report?
Tim has a comment.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
You indicate there are multiple alternatives for quality health care rather than becoming part of the Curry Health District. What are those? You haven't indicated.
Okay, I didn't get into that very deeply because I spent a lot of time on this. But one of the things that is possible, there could be a port in the Port District, there could be a hospital built in this Port District. Now, some of the opposition has been in the past that three hospitals would not be financially viable. But if we were to have a big event, like it's predicted, are we going to be able to get to Gold Beach Hospital? Are we going to be able to get to Sutter Coast Hospital? I don't think so. So.
Let me put it just another way. Given this has turned out, when do you perceive that we would have an ER room in Brookings?
An ER room? I thought they were presently working on 2,000 square feet that they're...
That's a separate issue.
But see, this ballot doesn't even guarantee that we're having an ER room. That's the problem. There are no guarantees. What?
It's only a temporary approval from the state of Oregon.
It was final in August.
Was it final?
Yeah, but that's not the issue.
Yeah.
Could we raise our hands if we're going to speak, please? Could you raise your hand if you're going to speak out?
I guess the big issue, Tim, is that there really are no guarantees. That's my big issue.
I follow that. But given this fails, it seems to me it's 10 years out before we have an ER room.
Even if it passes.
Possibly. Well, I mean, there's a chance if it passes. There's no chance if it doesn't pass.
I kind of disagree with that. There's a comment over here. Catherine has a comment.
I was just wondering why you're saying there is no chance.
Well, how else? I don't know this answer.
There could be a ballot proposition after the issues that are being potentially presented are in fact resolved. If they've gone this long for 4 years with health care at the clinic, okay, and have gotten themselves into this much debt and saying that they don't need the financing from the Port District for their debt, what's the rush to judgment? If they don't need the money, a ballot measure could wait until next year.
I'm not going to defend. I don't have any dollars to defend them. I would like to see an ER room, and so far I haven't heard any other way to get it. If there is one, I'd like to know that besides the mythical hospital coming into Brookings.
It's a mythical emergency room.
Well, no, it's somewhat promised.
It was somewhat promised 4 years ago.
Well,
they can do it now.
I think the thing that bothers me most is there are really no guarantees. None.
And very little representation.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Almost none.
So we'd be paying 2/3 of the bond.
With no voice.
So you think they're mythically making up this?
No, I'm not mythically making it up.
No, I said they are mythically making it up because you just think it's not true. This is not a good display.
Why wouldn't it be on the ballot measure if it were sure? If that's what we were voting for, we're going to get an emergency room.
Right. No, you can't do that. You have to go through the state government to do it. And the first thing that's up is that you have a 50-mile limitation between hospitals. You can't build another.
But there could be a waiver for that.
I'm sorry?
There could be a waiver for that because of our...
Oh, you have to get a waiver.
Yeah, because of our remoteness.
Okay, we're getting totally off our agenda here. We're getting totally off our agenda as far as commissioners' reports.
I'd like to ask a question to Ted or somebody on the board. I can never remember the port board ever coming out for or against any ballot measure other than the one they tried to pass for police protection inside the Port District.
I can't either.
Correct.
We could ask our attorney, but I think you got a valid point. So, before the board would take a position on that, I think you definitely want to have Jim Coffey give you an opinion. I can ask him if we can do that.
I guess my big issue is that this involves the Port District, and
right.
Information just needs to be out there. That's my big issue.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Very good information.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can report.
Well, and that could be a possibility.
But like Roger says, we need to find out where we stand as a board.
You know what? I have no problem with that. I'm just I just really want voters to be informed before they vote. That's all.
Right. No, good job.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Manley?
You know, I have just a quick response on the slam and salmon. I have a few groups that come over here every year. They've been coming since the inception. And although the fishing was very poor this year, they weren't too happy with that. The event itself was the best that it's ever been. And I think that the port and Roger need a strong vote of appreciation and thanks from the community.
Can we give them a hand?
Absolutely. These guys have been coming over for as long as this event's been going, and they're very opinionated. So for them to actually say it was the best event ever is a huge piece. And I was pretty proud to be part of that in our community. And we get so many negative things and so much negative feedback that we forget to focus on the things we do good. And so I think that's a huge piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Tim Patterson?
Yes, I would like to know if we could possibly get email notifications of meetings. Because in my old age, it's hard for me to sometimes remember from morning to afternoon. But it would be useful just to get something that says packets are ready or whatever on a regular basis.
Jeremy can do
that. I think Jeremy can do that.
Sure.
Okay, that would be very useful to me.
How much time do you want to go? A week?
The morning for me is okay, but at least a one day. What? Actually, I'd rather have a one day in advance. It would be because I have it on my calendar. I have to open up my battery, you know, something. My brain goes dead. But it would be nice to, and it would be nice to know. Now, apparently, the minutes were available for some period of time. Seems like these are all documents that could be mailed, as opposed to having to come down here and pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless I'm missing a boat here somewhere, it just seems like if you're going to do it on the computer anyway, you might as well email. Or I would request that they get emailed. Let's say that.
That was also something that Roger brought up to me, so that's something that we're working towards.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we could also buy me a computer to help read them.
You don't have a computer?
Yeah. And you'll need a printer to print them out.
I want one of those pixels with a, you know, with a printer on the side. Yeah.
Good old Apple IIe.
Yeah. The planning workshop that we didn't have because we didn't have it, is that going to be rescheduled, or are we not going to do that concept?
Well, I think we just reviewed the stuff that we're doing for the quarter.
We didn't have any input on that.
Well, you certainly had the opportunity to have input on it. Ask for input.
So the answer to the question is you don't want to do the quarterly workshops. Is that what you're saying?
It was scheduled for tonight. I actually don't want to schedule more workshops than we have already. If I can avoid it, I would rather not. I have a life too, and I think a lot of the rest of us do too. Do the rest of the commissioners want to schedule more meetings? Because I'm not aware that, you know,
I thought
we have the ability to work on this stuff right here in the meeting with the public.
It was my understanding that we were going to do that, and we didn't. If it's a bad idea, we can eventually agree to not do that. Well, anyway, I thought it was going to happen, and I'd like it to happen, personally. If the rest of the board doesn't want to happen to do that, then I'm only one vote.
You know what, if we were going to have a workshop maybe to discuss this, why not do it just a little bit before this meeting, maybe an hour before this meeting, so that we don't have to go out.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
That's what the school board does, you know, we have like these marathon meetings.
The thing is that we did have that, I mean, that stuff was out last week. So I didn't know, but you know, if it's up to us to get it to you, we'll do that. Oh, but the materials were available, I think that commissioners also have a duty to participate as well. That's one reason that I'm a little bit hesitant to schedule more meetings when I don't see participation in the meetings that we have. So I'd like to make sure that, and I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, because if I'm all alone here, because that's the feeling I get.
No, I'm not a proponent of more workshops just to have workshops. I got enough stuff to do without coming to visit. So if we got a reason to have a workshop, I'm all for it.
Call
but we need a legitimate reason to get a workshop.
Oh, I got a letter from Diane Swart, I think it is Swart. She asked a question, basically asking why I don't know what's going on. And the answer to that is I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think if I got that letter too, and we had an executive session that was scheduled, and that was addressed.
Well, it's technically a session, but it wasn't about this letter.
Actually, it was.
That issue was addressed.
It very extremely was.
But the point of that, Tim, is there was an executive session held, and you were not present.
Absolutely, correct.
And that was scheduled, and everyone knew about it, and I sent out text.
Text?
No.
Text, yes.
I didn't get anything.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get text? I sent them. I know I did.
Well, we scheduled it 1 week in advance. We advertised it, and we scheduled the time for it, and we had it. And based on the non-attendance of that meeting, I did have a previous conflict to deal with the permitting issues that I talked about in the manager report. But those issues were dealt with at the executive session. And if you want to know what's going on, you need to come to the meetings.
Yes, would be nice to have an email notification of that. But okay. I admit I missed that meeting. Okay, so the answer at this point is no, we're not going to have this.
I'm not against having one if we have it combined into the normal monthly meeting. I don't mind expanding that time slot, but taking another, midday. There's a lot going on at the port, especially right now. There's a lot going on. We have some big projects that we're going on, and if we can do this, we have a strategic plan.
Yes.
We have the prioritized list that was already submitted and circulated a couple of months ago. That's the list before you. So you've seen it before.
Oh, I haven't seen that before.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, guaranteed. You were at the meeting. We discussed it. It was here. It was submitted as part of what we were doing. It was during the landing tax meeting, I believe. That's when we submitted that list of prioritized projects. Well, that was reprioritized based on what we're doing, and the materials were they were all available as of last week, which I thought
how
was
would
what
I,
we
how
were
would
supposed
I,
to.
How would I have known they were available, Dan?
Both in the office.
Huh? So am I supposed to come down to the office weekly?
I don't know. I mean,
you know what? I usually just give them a call and say, "Hey, are the packets ready?" And voila, it happens.
I thought I was told to get the packets ready before. I've been working on when you guys directed me to do it, so I've been getting them out early, prior to the meeting. I know we addressed that about two meetings ago, and so we moved it up and we got the stuff out the previous week, and then you can review the materials. But now I'll get them to you, Tim. I didn't know that was my duty, but I will do it. Definitely do it.
Well, I'm asking you to have it done, but if you don't want to do it, it's okay. I can
deal
with the
order.
Okay.
Way out of order here. Way out of order. We will, Jeremy, do you have each and every one of our commissioners' email address?
No, but I can get them.
We will see to you that we get them to you before we leave, okay? Can we please email and eliminate the process of not getting somebody accidentally maybe not getting something for whatever reason? Can you do that for me, Jeremy, please?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't want to do that. I'm the only one out of five. But, I'm the only one, but I'm happy to have
Tim,
it done.
It's okay. We'll all get it. We'll all receive it. All right. I'm in that office daily, umpteen times. Mike's in that office daily, umpteen times. Sue comes in. Roger's in there on and off. I mean, and you asked a question tonight. Do you want me to come into that office weekly? As the chairman of the board, I would ask you to come into that office weekly just to say, hey, what's going on? What's new? What's up?
Okay, the issue for me in that is I don't want to get into discussions with employees.
Correct.
Or Ted.
Correct.
Without the rest of the board there.
Correct.
So it's not, if I'm just going in to pick up stuff, I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
But I don't want to get into discussions with people.
Well, certainly.
Only because I don't want to do it without other
right,
people hearing.
Right, and I understand that. I understand that fully. And I do not think it is a problem for Jeremy to forward this email stuff. I don't think it's a problem. So don't feel like you're the only one or be offended that you've asked for this for your needs. You know, we'll do whatever we can to...
I can do the other too.
You know, we'll get it to you.
I can do the other.
Well, we'll get it to you because you've requested this before, so your needs are such that, you know, email works and we'll get it to you.
We had the possibility of a committee. We were going to do a committee on the TPAC or the tourist tax. I'd like to put that off another meeting. I have a person in mind, but I haven't been able to get his resume together yet. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, with that being said, this meeting is adjourned. Pardon me?
Did you order?
Yeah. Tim.